Hello, thank you for joining us today. My name is Tom Lane with Sabbath Bible Study. Leading up to the Exodus from Egypt, we read of Pharaoh who, in the face of death and tragedy, finally agreed to let Israel go, and who stubbornly refused to see the plagues as the work of God because in his mind there was a human explanation for what was happening. We also have a story of a man, a very old man, and his even older brother who were tasked by God to lead the people of Israel during this time. It was when Moses lived exiled in Midian, living with his wife Zipporah, and took care of the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, that a bush burst into flames and yet did not burn. Expecting fire to consume a bush, this got Moses' attention. Out of the burning bush, God spoke to Moses, telling him he had been chosen to deliver Israel from Egypt. And right away, Moses had doubt, wondering why Pharaoh would even bother to listen to him. God did his best to assure Moses and even had Moses throw his rod to the ground where it became a snake. When he picked up the snake, it became a rod again. When Moses protested that he wasn't an eloquent speaker, but spoke slowly, God explained that ability and disability did not factor into God's decision. With Moses still not accepting what God was telling him, and God becoming angrier by the minute, God told Moses he could use his older brother Aaron to speak for him. And with that, Moses and his family returned to Egypt and were reunited with Aaron. Imagine Aaron's surprise in finding out what his younger brother volunteered him for. Moses and Aaron dutifully went to Pharaoh seeking to let the people of Israel leave to observe a feast in the desert. And to show who was boss, Pharaoh increased the work for the people of Israel, and this rejection led to Moses complaining to God. Hearing Moses' complaints, God promised freedom for Israel and explained that before God was finished with Pharaoh, that God would make Moses look like a god with a small g to Pharaoh, and that Aaron would look like a prophet. And by this time, Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron was 83. Exodus 7, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, See, I have made thee a god to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Thou shalt speak all that I command thee, and Aaron thy brother shall speak unto Pharaoh, that he send the children of Israel out of his land. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that I may lay my hand upon Egypt, and bring forth mine armies and my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch forth mine hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. And Moses and Aaron did as the Lord commanded them, so did they. And Moses was 80 years old, and Aaron 83 years old, when they spake unto Pharaoh. When they visited Pharaoh, God told Moses to have Aaron throw his rod on the ground so it could become a snake, and they did this. Pharaoh had his wise men and sorcerers seemingly repeat the miracle, and to Pharaoh, this reinforced the idea that Moses and Aaron were not anything special, until the snake that came from Aaron's rod ate the snakes cast down by the wise men and sorcerers. Instead of seeing this as bigger than the wise men and sorcerers, Pharaoh became angry, probably because it didn't fit into his idea that Moses and Aaron weren't anything special. Verse 8. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, When Pharaoh shall speak unto you, saying, Show a miracle for you, then thou shalt say unto Aaron, Take thy rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it shall become a serpent. And Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, And they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments, for they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. And he hardened Pharaoh's heart, that he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. God later shared with Moses that Pharaoh was very stubborn and wouldn't let the people go. And instead of just giving up, Moses was told to double down on the efforts against Pharaoh, turning the river into blood and causing the fish to die. God could have turned the water into blood, or the river could have taken on the color of blood through something like what today is called red tide, also known as harmful algae bloom, which kills fish and causes the water to look like blood and is not only harmful to fish, but is harmful to people as well. Verse 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, lo, he goeth out into the water, and thou shalt stand by the river's brink, against he come, and the rod which was turned to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness, and behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, And this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loathe to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in the vessels of wood and in the vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded. And he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his serpents, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, neither did he hearken unto them, as the Lord had said. And Pharaoh turned and went into his house, neither did he set his heart to this also. And all the Egyptians dig round about the river for water to drink, for they could not drink of the water of the river. And 7 days were fulfilled after the Lord had smitten the river. After the river was turned to blood, Pharaoh was still not impressed by what was seen, even though the people had to work just to find drinkable water. Knowing that Pharaoh had not changed his mind did not change the approach that God required of Moses and Aaron. This time, they were told to visit Pharaoh and warn him of a plague of frogs if the people were not let go. Once again, Pharaoh wasn't impressed. God released the plague through Moses and Aaron, and the magicians of Egypt were able to also make frogs appear. It didn't take long for the plague of frogs to overwhelm the people, and Pharaoh called Moses and Aaron back, telling them he would let them go for the feast. I remember one time teaching at one of the middle schools in El Paso's Lower Valley that got overrun by toads after a spring rain. They got into the school building, were on sidewalks, and throughout the parking lot. There was nowhere to walk or drive a car without having a toad involved, and it got messy very quickly. The people of Egypt must have been overwhelmed, and as soon as Moses and Aaron cried out to God and the frogs died and were gathered together in stinking heaps, Pharaoh conveniently changed his mind once again. Exodus 8, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Go unto Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that we may serve me. And if thou refuse to let them go, I will smite all the borders with frogs. And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up and come into thine house, and into thy bedchamber, and upon thy bed, and into the house of thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thine ovens, and into thy kneading troughs. And the frogs shall come up both on thee, and upon thy people, and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch forth thine hand with thy rod over the streams, over the rivers, and over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up upon the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, Entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may do sacrifice unto the Lord. And Moses said unto Pharaoh, Glory over me. When shall I entreat for thee and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only? And he said, Tomorrow. And he said, Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. And the frogs shall depart from thee, and from thy houses, and from thy servants, and from thy people. They shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh. And Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, and out of the fields. And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. God continued his pressure on Pharaoh and told Moses and Aaron to tell him the next plague would include a swarm of flies and lice that would be so intense it would be like a sandstorm. Sandstorms have been active this spring in my hometown. For those who may be unfamiliar with sandstorms but familiar with snowstorms, just like you might need a shovel out of a snowstorm, there is sand to be swept away after a sandstorm, though maybe not as much as a snowstorm. Protected from the swarm of flies and lice was the land of Goshen, home to the people of Israel. God delivered on the plague announced by Moses and Aaron, and once again, Pharaoh went back on his word to let the people go. Verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beasts. Then the magicians said unto Pharaoh, This is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had said. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh. Lo, he cometh forth to the water, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else thou wilt not let my people go. Behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground whereon they are. And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou may knowest that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be. And the Lord did so, And there came a grievous swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh, and into the servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. And Pharaoh called for Moses and for Aaron, and said, Go ye sacrifice to your God in the land. And Moses said, It is not meet so to do, for we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, shall we sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us? We will go 3 days' journey into the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God, as he shall command us. And Pharaoh said, I will let you go, that you may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness. Only you shall not go very far away, entreat for me. And Moses said, Behold, I go out from thee, and I will entreat the Lord that the swarm of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord. And Moses went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh, from his servants, and from his people. There remained not one. And Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time also, neither would he let the people go. God upped the pressure on Pharaoh, and had Moses and Aaron tell Pharaoh that if the people were not let go, a disease would wipe out much of the livestock of Egypt, and that like how God had protected Israel from the plague of flies and lice, God would protect the livestock of Israel. Once again, Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he did not let the people go. Exodus 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, and tell him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For if thou refuse to let them go, and will hold them still, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field, upon the horses, upon the asses, upon the camels, upon the oxen, and upon the sheep. There shall be a very grievous murrain. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is the children's of Israel. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, Tomorrow the Lord shall do this thing in the land. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died. But of the cattle of the children of Israel died not one. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. God then directed Moses and Aaron to take handfuls of ashes from the furnace, and to heave it up in the sky in the presence of Pharaoh. Those ashes would be used by God to cause painful boils to form on the Egyptians and their animals. Even the magicians were impacted by the painful boils, and they were unable to even try and counter what God did through Moses and Aaron. Once again, Pharaoh was not impressed, and he did not let the people go. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, Take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. And they took ashes of the furnace and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven. And it became a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast. And the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, for the boil was upon the magicians and upon all the Egyptians. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had spoken unto Moses. The next day, Moses and Aaron got up very early to tell Pharaoh that even more painful plagues would be coming. and specifically explained that all that had been endured by Pharaoh and the people were to show God's power, a power that could be used for the benefit of Egypt if Pharaoh would only do what God wanted, and a power that could be used for the harm of Egypt if Pharaoh continued to not do what God wanted. They also announced that early the next morning, a destructive hailstorm would come upon the land, destroying property and taking the life of any person or animal that would be outside. Verse 13. And the Lord said unto Moses, Rise up early in the morning, and stand before Pharaoh, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, Let my people go, that they may serve me. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hand that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, that thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up, for to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. As yet exaltest thou thyself against my people, that thou wilt not let them go? Behold, tomorrow about this time I will cause it to rain a very grievous hail, such as hath not been in Egypt since the foundation thereof even until now. Send therefore now, and gather thy cattle, and all that thou hast in thy field, for upon every man and beast which shall be found in the field shall not be brought home. The hail shall come down upon them, and they shall die. By this time, some of the servants of Pharaoh understood what Moses and Aaron said would come to pass, and they took steps to protect the lives of their animals and their servants and had everyone stay inside. Others did not respect the warning from God. What came was an intense thunderstorm with destructive hail and lightning. About 15 years back, there was an intense hailstorm in my neighborhood that destroyed my skylights, totaled my roof, shredded the trees and bushes around my house, and frazzled the birds. It was so alarming that the Quaker parrot I had at the time, named Baby, turned to me and told me it didn't want to die. That day, we didn't die, and as bad as the hailstorm, it wouldn't come close to comparing to the hailstorm in Egypt announced by Moses and Aaron. Every person and animal not inside were killed, and the storm was so destructive, the trees, bushes, and vegetations were shredded. Once again, the people of Israel in the land of Goshen were spared. During the storm, Pharaoh sent for Moses and Aaron, and God worked it out so that nobody died in that process. Pharaoh finally acknowledged sin, agreed to let the people go, asked for the storm to go away, and as soon as it did, Pharaoh once again changed his mind and would not let the people go. Verse 20. He that feared the word of the Lord among the servants of Pharaoh made his servants and his cattle flee into the houses. And he that regarded not the word of the Lord left his servants and cattle in the field. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch forth thine hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land of Egypt, upon man and upon beast and upon every herb of the field throughout the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his rod toward heaven, and the Lord sent thunder and hail, and the fire ran along the ground, and the Lord rained hail upon the land of Egypt. So there was hail, and fire mingled with the hail, very grievous, such as there was none like it in all the land of Egypt since it became a nation. And the hail smote throughout all the land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail smote every herb of the field, and brake every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, was there no hail. And Pharaoh sent, and called for Moses and Aaron, and said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous, and I and my people are wicked. Entreat the Lord for it is enough that there be no more mighty thunderings in hell, and I will let you go, and you shall stay no longer. And Moses said unto him, As soon as I am gone out of the city, I will spread abroad my hands unto the Lord, and the thunder shall cease, neither shall there be any more hell, that thou may knowest now how the earth is the Lord's. But as for thee and thy servants, I know that you will not yet fear the Lord God. And the flax and the barley was smitten, for the barley was in the ear, and the flax was bold. But the wheat and the rye were not smitten, for they were not grown up. And Moses went out of the city from Pharaoh, and spread abroad his hands unto the Lord, and the thunders and hail ceased, and the rain was not poured upon the earth. And when Pharaoh saw that the rain and the hail and the thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more, and hardened his heart, he and his servants. And the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, neither would he let the children of Israel go, as the Lord had spoken by Moses. God knew Pharaoh would not change, and told Moses and Aaron to once again visit Pharaoh, this time announcing a plague of locusts that would overrun cities and towns and eat all the crops and vegetation, whatever little would be left after the hailstorm. By this time, Pharaoh's servants were begging Pharaoh to let the people go, knowing Egypt had already been destroyed by the plagues. And once again, Pharaoh refused, only allowing the men to go instead of all the people and animals. God quickly brought the plague of locusts on Egypt the next morning, and once again Pharaoh begged for forgiveness and the removal of the plague. And once the locusts were swept into the Red Sea by a strong wind from the west, Pharaoh once again changed his mind and did not let the people go. Exodus 10, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locusts into thy coast, and they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth, and they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day. And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, that they may serve the Lord their God. Knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh, and he said unto them, Go, serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? And Moses said, We will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds will we go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. And he said unto them, Let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it. For evil is before you. Not so, go now ye that are men and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locusts, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt, and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day, and all that night, and when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt, and rested in all the coasts of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there were no such locusts as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened. And they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruit of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not any green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste, and he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this death only. And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the coasts of Egypt. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go. God next used 3 days of darkness to get Pharaoh's attention. It was so dark, it was like night, making it hard to see anyone or do anything. In Goshen, the people of Israel had light where they lived. This time, Pharaoh allowed adults and children to leave, but would not let the animals leave. And Moses explained that they could not leave without the animals because they would need to sacrifice some of the animals during the feast. By this time, Pharaoh was so angry, he threatened Moses with death if they met again. And Moses assured him they would not see each other again. Verse 21. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord, only let your flocks and your herds be stayed, let your little ones also go with you. And Moses said, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us, there shall not an hoof be left behind. For thereof must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come thither. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and would not let them go. And Pharaoh said unto him, get thee from me, take heed to thyself, see my face no more, for in that day that thou seest my face, thou shalt die. And Moses said, thou hast spoken well, I will see thy face again no more. God then told Moses that one more plague would come upon Pharaoh, and that once this plague was delivered, Israel, all of Israel along with the livestock, would be allowed to leave. To prepare for the departure, the people of Israel were told to gather valuables from the Egyptians, such as jewelry, gold, and silver. As the people were busy gathering, God told Moses that the firstborn of the Egyptians, both man and beast, would die, causing such an outcry that Pharaoh would be forced by his own people to let the people go. Exodus 11, verse 1. And the Lord said unto Moses, yet I will bring one plague more upon Pharaoh, yet upon Egypt. Afterward he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. And Moses said, thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt. And all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of the Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. God had used these plagues to teach Moses about the calendar of God, explaining the time they were in was the beginning of the year. God showed how the people were to sacrifice a lamb, typically one per house, and the blood of the lamb was to be used on the doorway. The lamb or goat was to be a male and selected on the 10th day of the month. On the 14th day at evening, the lamb was to be killed, and the blood was to be smeared on the doorframe, both sides and the top. The lamb was to be roasted and eaten during the night, and nothing of the lamb was to be left in the morning. During the night, the angel of God would kill the firstborn of people and animals in Egypt. Exodus 12, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door posts of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden it all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, and your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. The Passover would lead to the days of unleavened bread, which start tonight at sunset. Tomorrow is a holy day, and 1 week from today will be the last day of unleavened bread. And during this time of year, we remember the Exodus from Egypt. Verse 14. And this day shall be unto you for memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day unto the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. Then Moses called for the elders of Israel, and said unto them, Draw out, and take you a lamb according to your families, and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop, and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel of the two side posts of the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. The angel of God would pass through all the land to kill the firstborn of the Egyptians, both people and animals, and only the people of Israel would be spared if they smeared the blood with hyssop on the door frame as instructed, and the people of Israel did what God commanded and were spared. Verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And you shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when you be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, and you shall keep the service. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? You shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. At midnight, the angel of God killed the firstborn of Egypt, both animals and beasts, including the son of Pharaoh. Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron, and most likely had a staff member tell them to leave with all the people and animals as originally requested. Verse 29. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants, and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, and there was not a house where there was not one dead. He called for Moses and Aaron by night, and said, Rise up, and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go, serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds, as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. Many plagues came upon Egypt because of the hardness of Pharaoh's heart, and God knew in advance how hard-headed Pharaoh would be. When Moses and Aaron came to Pharaoh and did wonderful things like throwing a rod to the ground and having it become a snake, Pharaoh didn't see the hand of God. He saw a simple trick that even his magicians could do. When the Nile was turned to blood, Pharaoh didn't see it as the hand of God, likely seeing it as something that just randomly happened in nature. When it seemed like Pharaoh would yield to God, and when God relented, Pharaoh went back on his word. With everything that happened to Egypt, and even though God was part of that discussion between Moses, Aaron, and Pharaoh, Pharaoh didn't see God to yield to God. He saw God much the same way this world sees God. When natural disasters occur, this world historically has seen natural disasters as acts of God, but like with Pharaoh, there is not much repentance. Today, we talk of global warming as a man-made disaster, and again, not in the context of God where repentance toward God is needed. We live in a time with natural disasters that seem to intensify year by year. And the context of God with a need to repent never seems to be part of society's reflection on what is occurring. Things got very bad for the Egyptians, even though the people of Israel were mostly spared. How bad will things have to get moving forward with natural disasters before the people of today will see the need to repent and yield to God. Thank you for joining us today. God willing, we'll get together next time on the Sabbath. Until then, thank you for joining us today.